The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee heard this week from two nominees for high-level jobs at very different agencies, one for Homeland Security Department Deputy Secretary and the other to head the tiny but potent Office of Special Counsel. Both face big challenges. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
Henry Koerner, the president's pick to be the U.S. Special Counsel of the Office of Special Counsel, and Claire Grady, the nominee to be the Undersecretary for Management at the Homeland Security Department, appear to be on the path to a relatively easy Senate confirmation. They'll both likely serve as leaders at two very different agencies, but their top priorities are the same. Here's Koerner.
The top priority will be to make sure that the employees at OSC know that we have that I believe in their mission, that I believe in what they're doing, and that it is our job to protect all the federal employees, and that we're going to do so independently, we're going to do so fairly, and we're going to do so aggressively, and we're going to protect the workforce to the best of our ability.
And here's Grady.
My top priority would also be workforce. DHS has tremendous folks who are doing amazing things every day, so ensuring that they understand just how valued their contributions are within and external to the department, and reinforce the importance of the mission, and that they realize that every single one of them is contributing to our nation's safety every day.
Both OSC and DHS face different workforce challenges. OSC has had to do more with less for the past couple of years. The agency has about 130 employees, but it got more than 6,000 new matters in 2016. That's a 53% increase in prohibited personnel practice complaints since 2010. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee says OSC has an especially important role to play now. Senator Heidi Heitkamp.
At a time when our federal workforce is undergoing a number of new challenges, such as reorganization at the behest of the Office of Management and Budget, it's important that the special counsel remain an independent, just, fair, and unbiased voice when it comes to protecting federal employees when they report any wrongdoing within their respective agencies.
Koerner spent nearly 20 years as a federal prosecutor in California. He played a role on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee staff and served as staff director on the Senate Permanent Intelligence Committee under then-ranking member John McCain. He says interactions with whistleblowers in the past have taught him about the impacts they have on federal policy, and he's realized what influences federal employees to speak out.
I think one of the most important parts is when you have a federal workforce, you have to show that they're appreciated, you have to protect them, you have to safeguard them, and make sure that when they blow the whistle, when they expose waste, fraud, abuse, and other violations, that they're going to do so safely, that we appreciate them for doing that, and that we're going to protect them to the best of ability that we have.
Some Democrats had a few concerns about Koerner's job history with members of the Republican Party. They wondered whether those experiences might influence his leadership at an independent agency. But
for almost my entire career, I haven't been really working in a partisan environment. When you said I'm close to Republicans, I've worked for Republican office holders, but not on campaigns, not in the sort of rough and tumble.
Right.
The prosecutor's office was obviously completely nonpartisan. When I was the staff director for Senator McCain on PSI, we had a tremendous relationship with Carl Levin, the chairman. Throughout the 2 years, we joined many of the reports. We did a lot of hearings jointly. We had such a good relationship that at the end, when I got my picture with Senator McCain that he signed, I also got one from Senator Levin, just he and I, and he thanked me for all the hard work. So I think I've shown that I'm absolutely capable of working independently.
Koerner also described the goals he has for OSC in the future. He says he wants to build on the success the agency saw under former Special Counsel Carolyn Lerner. OSC saw a steady rise in whistleblower disclosures and prohibited personnel complaints during her tenure. And the agency managed a heavier caseload with only a few small budget boosts. Here's Koerner.
Ms. Lerner talked a lot about how she's been able to manage more with less. Mm-hmm. So there have been over 6,000 cases. That's a huge record. And yet the agency has been able to get better and better results. And the way they've done it is they have combined certain functions. They have become more efficient. So, for example, they've assigned one lawyer to four different functions as opposed to having four different people looking at it. So making those efficiencies, they've been able to utilize their resources better. I think one of the things that I would look to is there is in the OSC Reauthorization Act, it talks about some OSC has a mandate to investigate all complaints. But some of them are, on their face, not going to work. They're not in the right, they shouldn't even be at OSC. They've they've passed the statute of limitations. There are other obvious disqualifiers. So in the Act, there is an opportunity for OSC to dispense with those without having even to conduct an investigation and go through a lot of staffing on that.
He also wants to continue much-needed upgrades to the agency's IT systems and cybersecurity posture and improve education and outreach with agency and congressional staff. He also sees a greater role for litigation in OSC's future.
And by utilizing prosecutorial tools and going in front of the board and holding managers who punish people for whistleblowing, holding managers accountable for their actions through discipline, I think you send a message that whistleblowers will be protected, people who bring protected disclosures forward will not be retaliated against, and if you obtain this kind of accountability against and discipline against managers, I think it's going to serve us well with all other whistleblowers as well.
The Homeland Security Department, meanwhile, has much different workforce challenges. Low morale has been a persistent problem at DHS. Here's Heitkamp with Claire Grady.
This is a really critical issue, and we hear the same answer. I think every year that I've been on this committee, and which has been my entire term in the Senate, we talk about morale at DHS. We talk about recruitment and retention. We talk about the lack of kind of consolidated visionary mission understanding. And so, you know, we need to quit talking about it. We need to develop strategies that actually achieve the result.
I fully agree, and I believe the department has started to make progress and will continue to make progress because instead of studying the problem, there are action plans that are resourced associated with furthering the efforts of employee engagement. And those action plans are based on analysis of data at a lower level, not looking at the department in aggregate, which significantly masks the actual problems, because you want to go after the root cause, not the symptom.
Grady says she'll work with the DHS Chief Human Capital Officer to look at recruitment and retention practices across the department. They want to develop new strategies to more quickly fill some of those vacancies and start hiring for 10,000 new immigration officers and 5,000 Border Patrol agents. Grady is currently the Defense Department's Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy. She's been in government for 25 years and started as a GS-7 intern, then rose the ranks as a member of the Senior Executive Service. She's held leadership positions at the component and headquarters level at both the Defense and Homeland Security departments. In Washington, Nicola Grisco, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.